Prophecy is, 2 Peter 1:19 says, a light shining in a dark place that we would do well to pay attention to. Do you think that our world today is in a dark place? Yeah, very dark. And so we need the light of the Word of God to give us hope in troubled times. And that's what the prophetic scriptures do. So to help us restore prophecy to its rightful place as God has given it, I'd like to work through this evening 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 3 through 15. And let me give you just a little bit of background on 2 Peter before we jump into it. But there's a slide there indicating prophecy is more sure than eyewitness testimony. It's a light shining in a dark place until the morning star, Jesus, arises. But Peter is kind of functioning like Paul Revere. I come from America, so I have an American point of view. But you remember Paul Revere from American history. What did he say? The British are coming, right? What is Peter saying? The false teachers are coming. He's warning in this little three-chapter book that the false teachers are on the horizon. And the specific false teachers that Peter was warning about are a group called the Gnostics. And the Gnostics basically believed in a lot of strange things. But one of the things they didn't believe in was the idea that Jesus could come in a physical body. They believed that the spiritual world was good and the physical world was bad. And if the physical world is bad, how could God come in a body? Because the body's evil in their distorted way of thinking. And if Jesus did not come in a body, guess what? He's not coming back in a body. So the Gnostics were people that were attacking the physical, literal return of Jesus Christ. Do we all understand that when Jesus Christ comes back, He's coming back just as literally as when He left? Right? And you can see that in Acts 1, at His ascension. Men of Galilee, why are you staring into heaven? This same Jesus is going to come back just like you saw Him leave. He left physically, visibly, and bodily, so He's returning physically, visibly, and bodily. In fact, Zechariah 14:4 says His feet will touch the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives will split. And Job, which is the oldest book in the Bible, Job 19, Job says, I know my Redeemer lives, and in the end, He will take His stand where? Upon the earth. But these Gnostics were denying this, and so Peter writes this three-chapter book to build up his readers in the faith so that they will be insulated from these false teachers that would come. So the message of 2 Peter is protection from the influence, the negative influence of these false teachers, through an exhortation to maturity, exposing the characteristics of false teachers and their doctrines that they will teach. So the book of 2 Peter has a very easy outline to remember. 2 Peter 1 is a call to maturity. 2 Peter 2 are the characteristics of false teachers. And 2 Peter chapter 3 is a description of these false teachers and their doctrines that they are going to bring in. The notes that you have should sort of parallel a little bit, at least we tried to work it that way, with these slides. So in chapter 1, Peter calls his audience to maturity. Look just for a minute at 2 Peter 2 and take a look at verse 14. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. Of these false teachers, it says, having eyes full of adultery, they never cease from enticing unstable souls. Who do false teachers prey on? The unstable. False teachers love Christians that believe the Bible but don't know it well, because they can be deceived quite easily. So Peter's goal then in chapter 1 is to get his audience to grow up spiritually. Because he knows that if his audience is mature, they'll be stable and they won't be swayed by these false teachers. So he gives the provisions for growth, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, which, in other words, God has given us everything we need to grow spiritually. Power, knowledge, promises, and the new nature. And then in verses 5 through 7, he explains what mature Christianity looks like. It essentially is a replication of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So as we see these characteristics on the screen there, love, kindness, godliness, perseverance, goodness, and a number of others, as we see these things increasing in our lives, we're actually becoming mature. So he gives us an exhortation to grow, and then he tells us what maturity looks like. And he explains our provisions for growth. In chapter 2, he begins to describe the characteristics of the false teachers. Here is their general characteristics. He describes their coming arrival, their devices, their doom, their depravity, their emptiness, and how they're going to regress back into sin. And then chapter 3, which is where we're focused tonight, is the doctrine of these false teachers. Peter, in advance, as he's writing under the power of the Holy Spirit, explains the specific doctrine or teaching that these false teachers will introduce. And he begins to explain here how, in the last days, prophecy itself will come under attack. And these false teachers will attack the doctrine of the bodily return of Jesus Christ. So that takes us now to the verses we're going to look at tonight. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 15. And as we work through these, I think you'll see in your mind a growing restoration for the proper place of prophecy. How prophecy should not be marginalized. It should not be attacked. It should not be assigned to some background place in the Christian life. It deserves to be on the forefront of our thinking and our studying. So he gives the heresy of the false teachers, verses 3 and 4, and their motive, verses 3 and 4. Then he'll give us a rebuttal, verses 5 through 10. Here's how to respond to these false teachers. And then, like a good preacher, verses 11 through 15, he leaves off with some application. So let's go ahead and jump in, now that we have a little bit of background and orientation, and take a look, if you will, at verses 3 and 4. Peter says, knowing this, that first of all, in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue just as it was from the beginning of creation. The first thing that Peter describes here is the heresy of these false teachers. They're going to come in with a particular heresy. And the heresy that they're going to introduce is they are going to start to debunk or attack the doctrine of the bodily return of Jesus. The Gnostics were saying if the physical world is bad, then Jesus, not only did He not come in a body, but He's not coming back in a body. And you'll notice there in verse 4, this attack that's going to be waged against these false teachers. And they're going to, by these false teachers rather, and they're going to say, where is the promise of His coming? Now, how exactly are these false teachers going to debunk the doctrine of the return of Christ? Peter's very clear as he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It says there in verse 3, they're going to use a tool called scoffing. Verse 3 says, knowing this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking. So the tool that they're going to use to debunk the return of Jesus Christ is simply ridicule.